chapter 4 to start, but we're going to do a fair amount of Bible turning tonight, but it's all going to be right in the front, and it's all going to be right in a row. My concern for pretty much any Christian, my concern is that they don't believe that once they get saved, that they have a job to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about the calling of the Lord. A man that was a very well-known man named John R. Rice, he made a statement that said, "I don't believe that I'm called to preach." He said, "I believe that I'm going to preach until God stops me, and that's when I'm going to stop." That has damaged more preaching men than you can ever put a finger on. Men are called to preach. I don't care who said it. I'm going to agree with what the Bible says. I'm not going to take the back road to where if I fail, it's okay. I want to take the road that God called me to do this. It's up to Him to give me the way. It's up to Him to show me the road. But I'm going to do this because God called me to. In your life, though, preaching is just one avenue of God's calling. I believe that God calls each and every one of us to do something for God. Now, I'll get with you in a second on this, but hold the phone. I don't believe obedience is the same thing as calling. But I do believe that you must obey the call. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'll just give you a real quick example. I believe we are commanded to do many things in the Scripture. I believe those commands have nothing to do with your call. I believe they're part of your call because they're part of your everyday life as a Christian. You ought to do them. But your call is separate from the commandment. Your call is separate from the truths that God gives you that you must do because you're a Christian, for example. You're called to read, you are commanded to read your Bible. You are commanded to love each other. By the way, that's not a request of God. I say that with a smile. That's a command that we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to pray. Command. You're not called to pray. You're commanded to pray. Are you with me so far? So don't think, well, bless God, I'm called to preach. I don't have to pray. I'm not called to pray. No, you're right. You're commanded to pray. You're commanded to give. It's not a calling. You're commanded to give. It's not something that God lays on your heart. God gave you the map. What He's laid on your heart is this command. This command is 10% plus offerings. That's a command. Those things cannot be mixed up with a call. Now, I want to go over a few verses. How do I know it's true? I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read a few scriptures here. Let's all stand together. I'll sit you down, and then we're going to have sword drill time. It's going to be one right after the other. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I want to draw your attention to how important this is. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Brother Jimmy Shell, can you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go through several verses that have to do specifically with the calling of God. I'm going to tell you this only because I'm worried that many of us don't know that the calling exists. I'm worried. By the way, this is nothing spooky. There's nothing. This is what happens in a calling. In a calling, you do what God's will is and you do His commandments. Those things grouped together, God leads you into what you're called to do. I don't believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know Brother Shell very well, I don't believe that he came to this church fully expecting God to call him to preach. Over several years, God multiplied and multiplied and multiplied him here, did the things for him here. He did what God wanted him to do, and in the process of time, Bob was called to preach. I believe with all my heart that Pastor Skyver was the very same way. I believe he had the calling given to him, but it was something that he found after he did what God wanted him to do. I believe every person in this entire congregation has a job that God has given them, a job that God wants you to do, that is a calling, that holy vocation that God wants you to take over and do. He wants you to do those things, but you don't have, in your life, this isn't a requirement, this is a calling. The requirements are the things like I said before. Every Christian has requirements, very few do what they're called to do. Very few. It takes a lot of work to figure out what you're called to do. A lot of work. And before we get into this first one in Romans, it's amazing to me how many people have in their mind what their calling ought to be. But God's not interested in that. Many people drop out of the ministry and drop out of what God has asked them to do because they're not happy with the calling that God gave them. They believe that they're called to do a certain thing, but they're not interested in what God says. They're interested in what they want to do. By the way, what you want to do and what God wants you to do are very seldom the same thing. Not saying they're never, very seldom are they the same thing. Usually, and I'm talking about your calling, I'm not talking about your everyday life, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I first came here, I had no thoughts of being a preacher of any type. I guarantee you the vast majority of men that have become preachers and God has called them, very few of those men started out thinking, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a preacher. But God just wouldn't let you go. I do know men, though, that God never called to preach. I do know men that believe God called them to preach, but God never did. And they fight and they battle and they want and they desire and it never works out because God didn't call them to do that. See, this is where it becomes very careful. First of all, I want you to know that you do have a calling. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's something you're supposed to do for the Lord. Second of all, you got to have the patience enough to find it. Okay? So let's take a moment and just go over these verses about calling. Let's go over these verses to make sure there is one. Amen? Let's see what the Scripture says. You don't have to believe me. Let's see what the Scripture says, and we'll get back to Matthew here in 1 minute. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. I'm not in any hurry tonight. I'd like you to see it. The Bible says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You should never be afraid or sorry for what God has called you to do. You should never be afraid or sorry that you're a good singer. Afraid or sorry. By the way, I've seen a lot of people like this. They're good singers, embarrassed, won't do it because they're ashamed of it. I got news for you. God gave you that gift for a reason. God wants you to use that gift for His glory. God wants you to use that gift for what He's given it to you for. And I worry that you don't use it and God takes it from you. There is our gift from God and there is a calling from God. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to go right in a row. You should always be flipping pages from your right to your left. How convenient. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. But unto them which are, what? Called. You say, well, that's talking about salvation. I believe there's a call to salvation. I believe that you get saved because God calls you. I believe that. Amen? But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. Now wait a minute, now we're talking to brethren. These are saved people. Ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, wait a minute. Well, I'm talking about people in general for this calling. Personally, I believe that God has a plan for every person on this planet. Wrap your head around that. I believe He's got a plan for every person on this planet. But read this scripture, what it says. These people, these nobles, these people that are not are wise men after the flesh. There's a lot of wise men after the flesh. I believe Donald Trump, God has a plan for him. But he won't get God's plan because he's too wrapped up in himself. I'm just using him as an example. Take your pick. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base of this of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There is a calling. There's a calling to salvation, but there's also a calling to the vocation wherewith God has called you personally. Amen? Now, let's move on. Same book, chapter 7. I'm just trying to establish that there's a calling. I'm just trying to establish that your life is important. Amen? You say, I'm too old. You're lying to yourself. There's only one person in this room too old, and she's doing just fine. I didn't say who it was, by the way. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Look at this. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. What's this calling that we're talking about? What's this daily life? Yes, calling could mean salvation, but I personally believe that there's a calling to a holy vocation. Let's 1 Corinthians, we're done with that. Go on to Ephesians. Keep right on rolling down the road. Is there a calling? I think we've already proven that there is, but let's roll down the road a little further. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I personally believe this is talking about what you do after you're saved. I really do. I believe this calling is dealing with what you do and who you are after you're saved, not before. Although I believe there's a calling for salvation, I don't believe that that's what this is. Argue with me if you want to, that's okay. But I'm telling you right now, I believe this is what the calling is for your life. Man, woman, child, teenager, it makes no difference. I believe God has a plan for every person's life. I really do. Now look at this now, Ephesians chapter 4. You're turning too much. That's all right, you don't have to read your Bible until tomorrow. Verse 4, Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. By the way, Allah does not, he's not in here. That's just a side note coupon. Allah's not in here. The JW is Jesus, he's not in here. He's not in here. Boy, am I stirring up things right now. Let me go a little further. The Pope's not in there. Let me help you out a little bit. Pope's not in there. Pope's not in there. You can get mad at me all you want to. Pope's not in there. Pope's not a god. Pope is a man and a sinful man, a sinful one at that. Praise God. Got that off my chest. Glory to God. We can move on. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. This calling is coming from a mighty God, one that cares about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He knows about you. He knows your life. He knows what you're good at. He's given every one of us gifts. And I always hesitate. I'm just going to take a minute here. I always hesitate to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. Bothers me. You know why it bothers me? Because people believe that God only gave them one. Yeah. That bothers me. God, I'm going to tell you, some of you folks have more talent in your pinky than the vast majority of these people in this world. And just think that you, well, God only made me, He only made me a teacher. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe God made a lot of people a lot of things, and we ought to seek out His will. Just do what God has asked you to do. Well, I'm not good at it. How do you know you never tried? I believe that God has got a calling for you, something special for you to do. This young man right here surrendered to preach. He knew I'd pick on you. He surrendered to preach. He believes he's called to preach. Is that true? He believes he's called to preach. I know two men in this room, three men actually in this room, that are not going to let him forget that. You know why? We want you to share in our misery. The calling of God is without repentance. He shouldn't be sorry for that. He should desire to do it. He should want to do it. Why? Because it's God's calling for him. You can't do anything else. His call is to be a preacher. His call, this is what God wants him to do. Glory to God, he found out when he was young. I look at these verses and I wonder about our lives. Are we okay with just coming in, sitting on the pews? Are we okay with not participating? I believe that we're missing a very important and a very intricate part of our life that we should seek God for. What does God want us to do with our lives? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul. We've heard this verse over and over and over again. I'm dying up here. Probably in more ways than one to you folks. If you look at this verse in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, we've all heard this. I press toward the mark for what? For the prize of what? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Was Paul saved? Sure he was. Paul was saved here, talking about the high calling of Jesus Christ. Let me explain something to you. If they came to my house tomorrow and said, David Ballard, we'd like you to be president of the United States, I'd have to step down. I'd have to step down. Why? That's not what God's called me to do. God has called me to pastor. It's what I'm called to do. There's no repentance here. I press towards the mark of that high calling. Let me help you out a little bit. None of us always do good. I mean, come on. Many of us don't do very well at seeking out God's will perfectly. Read about Paul. He'll shame you. I'll tell you right now, he'll shame you quick. But Paul pressed towards that mark of the high calling because he knew he was called. By the way, Paul was a murderer of Christians. He was a person that was an absolute persecutor of the church, Didn't murder bad people. He put good people in prison. He did all. You would think there's no way God has a plan for him. I submit to you the Bible. I believe God had a great plan for him. Now, let's continue. I believe that there's a calling. Let's continue. 2 Thessalonians. Just keep on turning. Verse 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. I personally believe those are the steps to this calling. Look at this now. Worthy of this calling and fulfill. What are we fulfilling? We're fulfilling His calling. Amen? Is that not what the subject we're talking about? The calling of God? We're filling this calling. What's fulfilling? Good pleasure of His goodness. By the way, there's great pleasure in God's goodness. Great pleasure in God. Are there heartaches? Yeah, there's heartaches because there's people involved. Amen? Fleshly people. That's the way it is. Say what you want to. People get involved. Flesh gets involved. Sin gets involved and makes it hard. But there's still great pleasure in God's goodness. And the work of faith with power. There's a lot of work to faith. But that power that comes along with it is wonderful. That's the calling that we have, is to watch God. Do you understand what it takes? In your flesh, Jimmy, dwelleth what? He knows it. In his flesh. And I know I keep hammering on this, but I want to give you the victory side of this. In your flesh, Jimmy, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know what it means that you sang in choir today? Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your flesh hates that. Calvary covers it all. Do you think your sinful self wants to sing that song? Let's put it where it's at. Your flesh has no desire. But I'm going to tell you right now, for this moment, your calling is to sing in that choir. You go up there and you get in that calling and you sing in that choir. Your flesh has to be defeated. You got to get past that. You got to let your spirit win. And there's great joy in Calvary covers it all. There's great joy in singing those great songs. By the way, I'm done with music. You can come back to Sunday school. Is there a calling? Look at 2 Timothy. I'm almost done with the Bible turning. Verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, here it is, and called us. Amen? Are those not two different things? Saved us and called us. Look at, keep reading. Thank you, preacher. Keep reading. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us, was given us in Christ Jesus. Look at this now. Isn't this something? Before the world began. Now listen to me. This calling is separated from salvation. Argue with me on some of the others if you want to, but you can't argue that one. Saved us and called us according to his purposes. He's given every one of us something to do for him. Even if your only calling is to take care of janitorial duties in your church house. Oh, that's a horrible call. I'd never be called for that. That's where you mess up. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. Look what God's, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what you think. Brother Bobby, can I ask you a question? I go back. You guys have been here 15 years now, right? 16 years, 17 years, something like that. Crazy town. Go back 17 years. Did you ever believe that your calling would be to be the youth pastor of Bethel Baptist Church? But it is your calling. I'm going to tell you right now, God had a purpose for Bob Shell. He had a purpose. His purpose, thank God he came here. Thank God he plugged in here. His purpose was to be our youth pastor. That was his purpose. Along the way, his purpose, he got called to preach, because that wasn't at first. Amen. He got called to preach along the way. Glory to God. He didn't ignore that calling or say he was sorry for it or go away from it. By the way, being a preacher is hard. But by the way, every person's holy calling is. Do you know why it's hard? Because the devil doesn't want you to do it. In your life, your flesh doesn't want you to do it. The people around you may not want you to do it. The people around you, I'm going to tell you right now, when I first started to preach, my parents, my family, they're all Lutherans, okay? They desperately did not. They think I'm a snake handler. West Virginia snake handlers, that's what they think I would do. Holy rollers, by rolling in the aisles. I don't care what they think. I'm called. I'm called. Now, John R. Rice, who was a, everybody knows him, right? And I'm not tearing on him. I'm tearing on the fact that somebody didn't show him Bible. Are you allowed to say that about one of the patriarchs of the Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement? You're allowed to say those things? I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't line up with Bible, I don't care nothing about who you are. Wrap your head around that. You may think that's obstinate, but if I don't line up with Bible, don't take what I'm saying. Line it up with Scripture. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's a lie. That's right. Amen. I don't care who it is. So I hear these things. Well, bless God, I'm not called. I don't believe there is a calling. I'm just going to preach until God stops me. You know what? I got to be honest with you. That's very damaging. There is a calling. And it doesn't have to be a preacher. It can be any part of a Christian's life that they are called to do. And by the way, God can transform your calling to different things as you go along. I'll give you a great example. I'll keep picking on Bob because you're here. Brother Bob right now is called to be youth pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. Amen? His calling could change. God could mold him and transform him and move him to some other position. He could take him to be a pastor of another church somewhere. How do we know? That's between him and God. That's his calling. I never ask a man. I never question a man's calling. I just tell, are you sure? Because if you're sure, my opinion matters not. I'll never forget. We had a missionary in here one time. And I'm not going to say his name, but we had a fellow that was getting ready to go off the mission field. And the guy come down off of the platform and says, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the right mission field you ought to go to. What? That's not the right mission field you ought to go to. You might win one person in 35 years. You ought to go to this mission field over here where they need people. Wait a minute. That's not my job. That's not my job. In Hammond, Indiana, they had a big problem with that, where the pastor thought he was God. Get mad at me all you want to. I don't care. Hey, let's just shuck it tonight. What God wants you to do is between you and God, not between me and God. Who am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you what God's telling you? Who am I? I'm going to tell you right now, could you come to me for advice? Could you come to me for my opinion? Could you come to me for guidance? Sure. Glory to God, sure. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God told you to be a missionary to Ireland, then you're a missionary to Ireland. And if you don't do what God told you to do, that's on you. But I can't have a man come and tell me, well, bless God, Brother Dave, you're not called to be pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. Apparently, I am. And it worries me and bothers me when men no longer seek Jesus. They're more concerned with somebody else telling them what they ought to do. I'm going to tell you right now, I think you ought to seek God's will. Do God's commandments. And if you do what God has commanded you to do, I personally believe He'll show you what your calling is. Amen. Is there a calling? If you had this verse alone, that'd be enough. Tell me I'm wrong. If you had this verse alone, that's enough. But I've read to you several, and by the way, there's more. Let's look at, we're in 2 Timothy. Let's go to Hebrews. This, I personally believe, is dealing with that salvation call. Let's look at what this says. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, because we are partakers of the heavenly calling, I believe that has to do with salvation. Why do I keep putting that in there every once in a while? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get saved when you want to. That doesn't go over very well. But you don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God calls you. He'll put, and I, by the way, I'm no judge of when that is either. But God's dealing with you before you get saved. God's dealing with your heart before you get saved. God is there before you get saved. There's repentance and then you get saved. I worry about these word salvations where they just say a few things and now I'm saved. That's not true. God calls you, you realize it, you repent of your sin, and God saves you. That's the order. And I worry about that kind of thing. Why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, preacher, I'm worried about the salvation and calling of people. I'm worried about that type of thing. Christian, it's real. That calling is real. That salvation call is real. God called me the day I was in Lighthouse. He called me that day. Hey, buddy, you got to get saved. That beating of your heart, that's the Holy Spirit moving you. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now think about this for a minute. if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Your calling and your election. Election is a fancy word for a saved person. Okay, your election. And I'm not going to deal with this all day long, but understand this. God is allowed to call you elect because he knew you were going to get saved before the world began. Okay, he knew. He's allowed to call you elect, okay? Don't boast of yourself, though. You're a sinner. So, God, you're elect, okay? Amen. Now, there are certain sects of religion that teach you that you don't have to go soul winning because God already knows who's going to get saved and blah, blah, blah. I got news for you. God knows, but you don't. That's our job. God says, go ye. Jesus says, go ye in all the world. We're supposed to go and soul win. We're supposed to be soul winners. Now, your calling, by the way, soul winning is not a calling. Soul winning is a command. Your calling and your election, be sure of what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I believe personally that that's a review of what you're doing for Christ. A review of what you're doing for Christ. Some folks are called into the bus ministry right now. They're working the bus ministry. You may not be in the bus ministry all your life, but right now this is what your calling is. I personally believe that there should always be a time that we're willing to go to the altar and say, God, am I doing what you want me to do? I just want to do what you want me to do. That's making your calling sure. It's a question to God. Is this what you have me to do? I'll give Austin Shell's a good example. Austin Shell, a bus worker, he does what he's supposed to do. Now he's up in the sound room. Glory to God. That's a different place to serve the Lord. That's what he's being called to do. Amen? And I thank God that we've got people that are called to do that. I don't even want to step foot in that place. I can't understand one button they've got going on up there. So I'm glad we've got people that do understand. Hattie Larlam, that's a calling. I can't do that calling. I wasn't called to that place, but there are people that are. That's what they do. They review their life. They review their calling. What are they supposed to do with their life? I'm going to tell you right now with all my heart, if you will review your calling, review what God wants you to do, I promise you God will show you. If you're interested in God's service, God will help you to serve. Not that difficult. Now, go back to the very first place we stopped off. Matthew chapter 4. Can you agree with me that there's a calling? Now, knowing that there's a calling, I want you to see something. Verse 18. Chapter 4, Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. Now, can I ask you a question? Were they on the job? Sure they were. That's what they did for a living. Amen. So, Jesus comes by the seashore, and he calls them. What do they do? When? Let's read. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. This brings up a very important point. There is a calling. We've already went over that. There is a calling. By the way, a calling, your calling is not the same as doing what God commands us to do. Not the same thing. Okay? That calling is something to be treasured. That calling, what God has for your life, is something that you should hold as very valuable. Why? Because you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one like you. Why did God make us unique? Because he needed you to be unique. If he didn't need us to be unique, we'd all be the same thing. Amen? So God wants us to be unique. God has a special thing that he wants you to do that only you can do in the way that you can do it. Amen? He didn't call all the fishers, by the way. He just called these two. Is that not true? I'm not saying that they were the only... I don't know if there's more on the boat or not. But there they were. He called them and they left. They said, it's time for me to do something. Are you saved in here tonight? It's time for you to do something. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his father, in a ship with Zebedee their father. Now they're with dad, a family business, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now hold on a second. I'm not telling you. You're all preacher, you told me to leave my family. No, I'm telling you that that calling that God gives you should be so important that nothing stands in your way. that calling of God, what you're supposed to do, that God has called you to do, is something that you should search diligently for. Don't just run in and say, well, bless God, not every boy in this room is supposed to be a preacher. Oh, we'd love them to be. But not every boy in this room is called to be a preacher. Only the boys that are called to be a preacher are called to preach. That's profound right there. But every person in here is called to do something. Amen. You should search diligently for it. How do you find it? You come to church, praise God. You pray to God, praise God. You read your Bible every day, praise God. You surround yourself with the right music, praise God. By the way, I'm done with music. You can come back to Sunday school. I'm going to tell you right now, you should do things in your life to surround you with godly things so God can have your heart, so you can show you what to do. What's God's will? God's will is for you to get busy. He'll show you what your calling is. Look at this now. There is a calling. That calling is something to be treasured. That call begins with follow me. That call begins with follow me. That call not only begins with follow me, it's seconded by obedience. Look what it says. Do you not believe that these men then did their calling? They completed their calling. They maybe didn't know what their calling was right away, by the way. They followed the man that called them, did whatever he wanted them to do. What a wonderful example. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will, Lord, but I've got to watch the Super Bowl. I will, Lord, but I've got something else to do. I will, Lord, but I've got to do this first. I will, Lord. I got to be honest with you, that's not what they said. And they straightway left what they were doing and followed him. Put whatever you're doing in there, and they followed him. By the way, following him could be staying at your job and working your job and doing everything for God that you're supposed to do at your job. By the way, if you've got a job, you should be the best employee that the place has. Why? Because you're a Christian and we should be different. You should do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. And if you do those things unto the Lord and follow him and do what he's asked us to do, he'll show you what he's called you to do. That call needs obedience. Now, here's what's wonderful. If you do what God has asked you to do and follow him, this calling, the first call is for salvation. But then there's a calling to do something in your life for God that only you can do. Amen? Now, God then is going to fulfill his purpose in you. Your job is to follow. His job is to fulfill. Your job is to do what God has asked you to do. His job is to make your job fruitful. Now, look at what this says. Look at 4:19. He saith unto them, follow me. Look at this. This is so wonderful. I hope you're not bored. Follow me, and who? Who's speaking? And I will make you fishers of men. Did they have to make themselves fishers of men? You don't understand. I can't go soul winning because I can't speak. That's not your job. Your job is to go. You don't understand, preacher. I can't sing. I don't want to be in a choir because I can't sing. If his blood's not good enough to cover your sin, it's good enough to cover your song. I'm going to tell you right now, if God's asking you to do something, you ought to do it. You ought to do it. They were fishermen. I don't read in there where they knew a lot of Bible. I don't read in there where they were seasoned veterans of the things of God. What I read in there is that they were fishermen. And God said, I will take care of the rest. I will help you. I will show you. I will make you successful if you just follow me. Look at this now. I love this verse, one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. Let me explain something to you. If anyone in the whole wide world knows I'm not worthy to preach in this pulpit, it's me. I know it, I know it, I know it. I know I'm a sinner. I know it. I know there's nothing that I have to offer Jesus Christ. There's no way. And any preacher worth his salt will admit that to you. Preacher talks about it all the time. I'm a kid off the street. I shouldn't be successful. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wrap my head around a person more successful than my father-in-law. I don't care what you say. Don't bother me. I've watched him work. For all these years, I've watched him work. And I know how he's successful. I know what he's done to change lives. You don't understand. He didn't He didn't pastor a church of 10,000. Nobody pastored a church with me in it. I couldn't care less about the 10,000. I care about what God's done in my life. Boy, that's selfish. You ought to care what God's done with your life. Look at one more. Look at Philippians chapter 1, and I'm all done. 7 o'clock. Boy, 7 o'clock. We were kind of banking on you being a little shorter. You went to the wrong bank. Boy, I love this verse. Look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. This is where you can take hope. Everyone in this room is called to do something. I believe that with all my heart. Every one of you is called to do something. I really believe that. I'm not talking your day-to-day life. I'm talking what He wants you to do. God will direct your everyday life. Your everyday life is not what we're talking about in this calling. I'm talking about what does God want you to do with your life. Okay? Look at this. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. Well, who do you think that is? That's Jesus. Who else begun a good work in you? Who else? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What? Can you read that again with me? He which hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. What do we have to do? We have to do what He commands us to do. And He will perform it. He will make that good work continue. He will make those things happen. Are you going to win somebody to Christ if you don't show up for soul winning? Are you going to sing well in choir if you're not here? Are you going to enjoy a church service if you don't show up? Is the bus going to run if the drivers don't come? Are all these things going to happen? No, but if you'll come and if you do what God has asked you to do, He will be responsible for what's going on. He will be responsible for the results. He will help you to be successful as a Christian with good success. My preaching is never on me, ever. I don't want it ever to be fleshly. Oh, God, I pray that. I don't ever want it to be about me. I don't ever want it to be coming out from me. I want it to be Him. I never want it to be about a human. I always want it to be about the Lord. This is what bothers me. Men get through their life. They get a big church. They get a big work. They get a big head. And what happens is this. People start to listen to the man more than they start to listen to the Lord. Why did the statement from John R. Rice ruin so many good preachers? Because they were looking at the man instead of looking at the Lord. I don't ever want you to think that the calling of God comes from me or comes from the preacher or comes from anybody in this room. The calling comes from God. But it's going to take a search on your part. And I'm going to tell you right now, that search does not include you waiting around for God to show you. That search includes us doing what God has asked us to do. Because He's given us commands that are not callings. He's given us a command to do the things that we ought to do for the Lord. Those are commands, but then there's also a calling, an holy calling, a purpose that He wants you to fulfill. We'll say, preacher, I don't know what it is. Don't worry, God will show you. You just keep doing what God wants you to do. One of the biggest questions I've been asked for years and years and years, I get it seems like quite often, I want to know how you know the will for God in my life. How do you know what that will is? The will is to pick up a piece of paper on the floor in the church if you see it. Sounds dumb, right? The will of God is to clean up a urinal after super church. Glory to God, hallelujah. Good night. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't do that, Josh, we don't have those kids come in. I don't care what anybody says. It's part of the work. Running a vacuum cleaner, cleaning out a toilet, doing the things that you're supposed to do for God. And I know I always come back to that kind of stuff, but it's amazing to me how nobody wants to do the menial things. He that is faithful in the little. See, this is what's amazing to me. If you want to know what your calling of God is, because everybody's got one in this room, I believe the scripture teaches that very well. Everybody in this room has something that God wants you to do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God has a job. You say you're too old. No, you're not. God has a job. You say you're too young. No, you're not. God has a job. I'm going to tell you right now, hey, Colton, your calling may not be to pastor a church today, but your calling certainly may be to pastor a church in 20 years. You don't know what your calling is all the way to the end, but I know a man who does. Our biggest problem is we won't come to the altar and find out what that calling is. We won't come to the altar and try to find out, but we've got in our mind what we think it ought to be. Well, I believe I'm called to live in a mansion while I'm here and called to own a big fat gold Cadillac, and I'm called to do all these wonderful things that include my pleasure. That's not what God said. There's more to life than what we want. There's so much great joy in doing what God wants. But you got to figure out what that is. Is there a calling? Yes. With all my heart, yes. Is there a calling for salvation? Yeah, there is, really is. There's a calling for salvation. I believe that. But it's not the same calling. Is there a calling for everybody? Yes. I believe that. Everybody has a job that God has made you to do. Will God fulfill His purpose in us? Yes, He will. If we'll seek His will, God will take care of the rest. I read you a scripture. Let's read it again, and I'm all done. Let's read it again. Look in Philippians, and I want you to read verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, that He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That calling, what God wants you to do, if you seek Him and you do what He's asked you to do. Now hold on, if you jump off the track and you don't do what God wants you to do, don't expect Him to fulfill that purpose, because you got to have a desire to do what He wants you to do. If you don't have that, don't come to church. If you don't come to church, you're not fulfilling God's will for your life. Half this church is empty compared to this morning because those folks aren't letting God fulfill the will for their lives. Get mad at me all you want to. If they're providentially hindered, if they're sick, whatever, I understand that. But if you're able to come and you don't come, I promise you, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not. You get mad at me, but it's okay. You're not doing what God wants you to do. How can He then fulfill His will and purpose for you if you don't drop your nets and follow Him? Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus can use even the sinners, even the unworthy, even the undone, the unwise, the unable. He can use anybody that's available to do what God wants him to do or her to do. How do we figure that out? Do what God commands us to do to the best of our ability, and God will show you what your calling is. And then when you find out what it is, do it. Do it, and don't let anybody stop you from doing it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord, I thank you so much for your calling. Lord, I thank you that there's folks that follow your calling. Lord, I hope and pray that you continue to get more in your army of folks that want to do what you want them to do. And oh God, I believe that we need to go forward in a very, very special way here at Bethel Baptist Church into the things of God and the things that you want us to do. And Lord God, I believe that there's so much talent in this room right now that could do so many great and wonderful things for you. I pray that you show them what you want from them, and I pray that they do it. I pray that they drop those nets, leave that occupation. I'm not talking about leaving your job, but leaving the worldly things behind and going forward and trusting you and following you. Oh Lord, Lord God, let me be one of them that does what you want me to do. Lord God, please, I'm begging you, let me do what you want me to do. oh God, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say they know that they know that they know that they received that calling to salvation and they got saved? They know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've got saved. They know that they're going to heaven when they die, and they know they've accepted the Lord. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? Very good. You may put them down. I must ask. I couldn't see every hand. But I will say this. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He wants you to be saved. I guarantee you that. Everything He did in His life was for others. Everything He did in His death was for others. And He or one of those others, He wants you to be saved. How many can say with an uplifted hand, you be willing, I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. How many can say, I know that I'm not saved. I want to be saved. There's never been a time in my life when I've accepted the Lord, and I need to accept Him today. I'm telling you right now, friend, I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. How many would be willing to say, I don't know, but I sure would like to know? Would you be willing to put your hand up real big and tall? I don't know, but I would like to know. And I'm talking to a bunch of called people. God has a job for us. God has a job for you. I wouldn't let anybody stop me from that job. That's between you and the Lord. If you don't know what it is, I guarantee you He'll show you. You just stick around. You keep asking Him and He'll tell you. He'll show you something that He's called you to do because He knows you can do it. Oh, I don't think I can do it. The Bible says that you're very confident that He that has begun a good work in you, He's going to complete it. He'll take care of you, but you got to follow Him. Dear Lord, I ask you, I beg you, Lord, please bless this invitation tonight. I know this is more like teaching than preaching, but Lord, I believe we needed it. This is something that's so very important. Every person in this room has value. Every single person under the sound of my voice has value. I don't believe you save them to sit. I don't believe you save them to do nothing. I believe you save them to follow your calling. And Lord, I pray, oh God, please show them. Let them have the tenacity that it takes to follow you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.